Well, are you ready for God's word today? I'm excited to bring it. We're in a series. We're talking about, I hope that you're being encouraged to develop some life-giving and life-changing spiritual disciplines. And today, I want to talk to you about praying bold prayers. Boldness. Boldness means fearless. It's that quality, that trait, that you're willing to step out of your comfort zone, willing to take a risk in the face of adversity or uncertainty. But no matter what, you're in that place where you want to show courage. That's boldness. And prayer is just simply communicating with God. You know that the creator of the universe, all-powerful, almighty God, he invites us to have a personal relationship with him. Isn't that amazing? And that's prayer, simply praying to him. He's very personal, and he's this powerful God, but he's so personal that he knows your name, he knows your story, he knows what you're going through right now, and he invites us to talk to him. Well, my observation is that sometimes we choose prayer as a last resort and really should be a first response. But I found that even from my own life that I don't always intuitively pray bold prayers. Sometimes I get hesitant in my prayers, or I just think about, you know, small prayers or just surviving prayers or just enough to get by kind of prayers. And I believe that God wants to remind us today that he's actually not just invited us, but he's given us access to come to him because of what Jesus has done. We can come boldly to the throne of God's presence and ask him to help us in our time of need. And he gives us his mercy and grace in our time of need. But sometimes we may be hesitant about that. I remember when I was a young teenager, I had a dirt bike. And so grew up on a farm, and it was like an 80-acre farm, so I could ride around this farm. And I loved it so much. I loved this little, I think it was an 80cc Honda or something like that. And I was riding around and, you know, through fields, and I loved exploring. Well, one day I was riding in a field, and this neighbor farmer drove up. I was near a road, so he drove up, and he started yelling at me to come to him. I was like, oh, maybe he wants to check out my bike, or maybe he wants to just say, you know, you're an impressive dirt bike rider. I didn't know. I didn't know what he wanted. And so as I went over to him, I realized he was yelling even louder, and he started saying, get your you-know-what off this property. And I was very terrified by this guy, and I knew him, but I had a helmet on, and I don't think he knew me, so I took my helmet off because I don't think he realized that I was the grandson of the one who owned that property. And he realized who I was and then apologized, and he said, oh, there was some other people, you know, they were trespassing on this land, and I was trying to get rid of them. Sorry, you're allowed to be here. And I was thinking about that. Sometimes we don't realize that because we're a son or a daughter of Almighty God, and because you are a child of God, you have access to be and to come into the presence of God. And I could be on that land with boldness. I could be fearless. I knew I had the authority. I had the permission to be on that land. And it's the same way when we come to God. We can pray bold prayers, making big requests to this powerful God because of what Jesus has done. He's made a way for us to do that. And so I want to go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. One verse to lay the foundation of this message. This might be familiar to you, but I want this to go into your hearts today. Verse 20 says that the Apostle Paul writes, now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. I want to encourage you to get this into your soul today. It might completely pierce a pre-existing condition is what I'm trying to say. It might completely throw off a pre-existing thought or belief system. I want you to get this in your soul today, that God is able to do more than you dare to ask, think, or imagine. Can we say those words together? God is able to do more than you dare to ask, think, or imagine. Bold prayers, these are big requests to a powerful God, and it will stretch our faith. It will take you to a God who may be bigger than what you thought he is. A God who is more than enough, a God of abundance. It reminds me of the story in the Gospels. Might be a familiar story to you, but Jesus was teaching one day, and there was this large crowd there, and he was teaching all day until people got very hungry. And so he looked at one of his disciples, Philip, and he said, "Hey, where could we buy food to feed this large crowd?" And he said this to Philip, testing him, because Jesus already knew what he was going to do. And that's a good reminder to us, no matter what you're facing, God already knows what he's going to do. There might be some situations that seem uncertain, but God already has a plan in place. And so Philip responds to Jesus by saying, "Well, it would take months of income to pay for all the food we need to feed this crowd of 5,000 plus people." And Jesus said, "Well, what do you have?" Because God always starts with where you are and what you have. And so they found this boy's lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fish. They brought it to Jesus, and Jesus took it, and he took it in his hands. He blessed it, and he gave thanks for it, and then multiplied it. And they began to feed this huge crowd of people, and everyone ate until they were full. But what I find interesting, I mean, it's a great miracle, but what I find interesting about this story is that there were 12 baskets full of food left over. Now, did Jesus not know how to plan? Did he not know how many people were there that needed to be fed or how much they were going to eat? Did he overshoot? Now, I think the reason there were 12 baskets full left over is that God was communicating to us, reminding us he's the God of more than enough. He's the God of abundance, but he's also a God that doesn't want anything to be wasted. So he said, gather that up. Abundance doesn't mean wasted. He doesn't want anything to be wasted. And so when we pray bold prayers, I want you to know that you're praying to a God who is more than enough. When you don't see a way, God is making a way. When you feel like the odds are stacked against you, I want you to know that you have a God who is for you and with you. So today I want to give you 4 things to do to pray bold prayers, that you can go to this source that will never run dry. And to do that, the place we're going to start is James chapter 4. How can we pray bold prayers? I love the book of James because it gives us some very clear, direct wisdom. He doesn't dance around. Verse 2 says this: "You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it." So he's talking about these human desires we have. We all have desires of wanting something. And he's saying how you're going about fulfilling these desires, you're going about it the wrong way. You want to fight, you want to wage war, you want to position yourself to try and get ahead or to try to, you know, work the system or work the crowd or try to get things into your favor. And he said, that's not what we do. He said, you're not even asking God. So I think he is giving us permission to ask God for whatever our desires are. But then he goes into something that is, I don't want us to miss. He says, verse 3, "Even when you ask, you don't get it, because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure." So we're gonna pray bold prayers. Here's the first place to start. Number one, ask God, and when you ask God, make sure you have the right motives. Ask God with the right motives. See, our tendency as humans are to be self-centered or to be selfish. And so the question I always like to ask myself, because I can have this tendency to just be praying about things that are important to me. But I ask myself this question, and I would ask you today. If all of your big, bold prayers were answered right now, whose life would improve? Your life or the life of the people around you? If what you're praying about, just God answered all of those prayers, What will be the result of that? So when you're asking God, and we're invited, Scripture teaches us to ask God, come to his presence with boldness. You can request, for example, if you're asking God to help you get out of debt, that's a good prayer. It might, depending on your situation, that might be a bold prayer. But you can help God get you out of debt, but don't stop there. Say, God, help me help someone else get out of debt too. If you're asking God to heal your body, maybe you're dealing with some kind of sickness or disease, physical health challenge, you can ask God to heal you, pray for healing. That's a good, bold prayer. But don't stop there. Start praying for other people that you know to be healed. If there are other things that are in your life, don't just look at what are my needs, and I think that's what James is getting at. Pray for the people around you. Have bold faith for those who are around you. For people that you see in need, or the needs of our community, the needs of people throughout the world. And when you ask God with the right motives. One of the ways to guard against and make sure that we are asking with the right motives takes us to number two, to pray in agreement with others. Pray in agreement with others. If you go to the next chapter in James chapter 5, there's a passage there where James says, if any of you are suffering hardship, you should pray. If any of you are in a great place, you're happy, you should sing praises. If any of you are sick or you're dealing with sickness or disease, call the spiritual mature leaders of the church to come and pray for you and anoint you with oil and pray that you would be healed. And then James goes into this, he makes this very interesting statement while he's talking about prayer in James chapter 5, verse 16. I don't actually want to read it in the Message translation. He says, make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. So James is pointing out this connection between confessing our sin and praying bold prayers or making bold requests to God and experiencing the power of God in our lives. And I don't know how it is for you, but confessing sins to one another does not come natural to me. Because I have a tendency to want to hide my faults and my mistakes and keep them hidden and put my best foot forward. Confessing sins to a trusted friend that you're in relationship with, it requires vulnerability and humility. And what James is teaching here is when we're in a place of vulnerability with other people who we trust and we're growing together with, and we're in that place that requires humility, he said that builds unity together. And Scripture teaches where there is unity, God commands a blessing. And so as important it is to ask God with the right motives, it's important to pray in agreement with others. Have you ever tried to pray with someone, be in agreement with someone that you had a beef with? It's very challenging. Oh, I hate it when Kelly and I have some kind of unresolved conflict, and then I have to talk about praying in agreement with some, you know, praying in agreement. That just happened just this past week. I'm putting this message together. On Tuesday, I made a comment to her that bothered her, and I saw that it bothered her, but I kind of pretended like I didn't. Have you ever done that? And so we kind of had this unresolved conflict, and we were heading to O Taste and See, the event on Tuesday night, our young adult event. And we were here, and you know, we were worshiping, but we still had this like unresolved conflict. Have you ever done that? Come to church, and the person you're close to, you have unresolved conflict, but you still pretend like you're worshiping and all good. Oh, no, you haven't done that before? And so we had this little thing going, but then Shannon, our young adult pastor, he looks to, you know, part of the service, he said, now I want everyone to turn to the person next to you and just share how the Lord has been good. And we're just like, are you serious? So we had to like turn to each other And we got our unresolved conflict resolved, don't worry. But that happens in life. So when there's some kind of conflict, it's very difficult to be in agreement with someone. Yet when we're in agreement and there's unity, God commands a blessing. There's this pathway. It all starts with humility and confessing your sin to one another. Here's what Jesus said about praying in agreement, Matthew 18, verse 19. He said, I also tell you this, as part of a teaching he was doing in chapter 18. He said, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask. I mean, let's be real, that's a pretty low bar. He must have known how hard it was for humans to be on earth to be in agreement about anything. All you need is one other person to agree with you. Concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. Now, I can read that and be like, that sounds like a genie in the bottle, right? I'm just gonna go find someone who agrees with me, you know, to buy that new car. Let's pray in agreement. I get them to agree with me, and scripture says, my Father in heaven will give it to you. But that's not the agreement he's talking about. Agreement is being in alignment with God's word and what his will is. Because then Jesus takes it a step further and he says, where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. So gathering in the name of Jesus and being in agreement, that's where the power is. So when you're gathering as followers of Jesus, that's bringing your life under the authority of Jesus Christ. That connected with praying in agreement, being in agreement with one other person, that is the pathway to some powerful prayers. So when you pray, make sure you're praying in agreement. See, when we pray in agreement, where it's humility, but it's also minimizing my ego. I don't wanna just pray about my needs. I wanna be in alignment with what God's word is, what his spirit is leading, and have agreement around that. The third way to pray bold prayers, very important, be specific. Be specific in your prayers when you ask God. Now, there's this very interesting story of a guy named Jabez in the Old Testament. And his story is it's just like a little footnote in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And if you've never read 1 Chronicles, it's a book in the Old Testament. It's basically a genealogy of the people of Israel. It's very important because it's an historical record that documents the nation of Israel, that these people actually lived, and the nation of Israel was established by God, ordained by God to bring Jesus the Messiah to the earth. So very important that we understand and we have a record. But in the middle of this genealogy, if you've ever read it, it's pretty uninspiring because it's just like this person begat this person and this person begat this person. And it's like, what is the point of all of this? But in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, there's this little footnote story of Jabez. And anytime there's a story of, because the Bible uses biography a lot, it helps us understand and reveal who God is, and it helps us understand how to relate to God. And so here's this little story about Jabez. There was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers. I don't know, maybe Jabez wrote that. That's probably how I would have written my own biography. I would have started it that way. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. But he was the one who prayed to the God of Israel. So out of all of these names, there's not really any other details. It's just this so-and-so begat so-and-so, so-and-so begat so-and-so. But then Jabez shows up, and the reason he's called out is for how he prayed. This was the guy who prayed to the God of Israel, and here was his prayer. Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain. And God granted him his request. Now, I do not make it a habit of cherry picking scriptures and little stories out, being like, hey, God can do that for Jabez. God can do that for you too. All you gotta do is, you know, just pray this little formula and you can see that God will grant your request. However, I think it's important to understand this prayer of Jabez. Because Jabez, in those days, a name and a meaning of a name was very important. So people were given names that represented their story or their family of origin or communicated something very significant about that person. Right? So that when they called that name, it was like, I'm calling you this character trait or this definition that we want everyone to know. And by the way, my name, Matt, means gift of the Lord. So when you call me Matt, you're just saying, I guess you're just saying God's gift. I don't know. I didn't name myself. But a name was very important. So Jabez was given this name that Jabez meant sorrow. It meant pain. It meant affliction. So every time his friends said, hey, Jabez, they were saying, hey, pain. Hey, sorrow. Hey, affliction. And if that's what Jabez accepted about his life, I don't think we would have ever heard about him. But Jabez did not let his name define his future. Jabez did not let his name define his identity. But what changed his life? Prayer. He prayed a bold prayer. It can actually serve as an example for us to pray some bold prayers. Where did Jabez start? He just started, oh Lord, would you bless me? Oh, that you would bless me. Wasn't even really a question, right? It was just like, oh, that you would bless me. Now, that is not some prosperity gospel kind of prayer. I don't know about you, but I want God's blessing on my life. And I believe Jabez, he knew he needed God's blessing on his life. He was already set back by his name, but he wasn't going to let his name be a setback. He wasn't going to let his name define his life. We don't know why he was given that name. It was a rough childbirth. Maybe he was born with some kind of challenge, that physical challenge that he had to live with. For whatever the case may be, he might have had some setbacks and he might have had some challenges that he was facing, but he wasn't going to stop there. So I think he had this deep conviction saying, God, I need your blessing on my life because otherwise I'm not going to make it. I need your favor. I need your face to shine down on me. I need you to smile down on my life. And so he had this boldness just to cry out for the blessing of God. I want that same kind of boldness. And then he said, would you enlarge or expand my territory? And again, I don't think this is some kind of prosperity gospel. Oh, I just want a bigger house and a bigger car and multiple cars, maybe a vacation home. I think Jabez said, I want to expand my territory because I want my life to mean something. I don't want to be stuck to being called pain and sorrow and afflicted. I want my name and I want my life to be someone who makes a difference. I'm a difference maker. So expand my territory. God, open more opportunities. Open those doors. Give me creative ways that my life is not just about me and my pain, but it is about how I can be a source of great blessing to many other people. Expand my influence. And so that prayer is a dangerous prayer to pray because if God expands your influence, that really means he's going to expand your responsibility. And less of your life is going to be about you. But how you can use what you have to help others. And then Jabez said, God, would you be with me? Would you be with me? I don't want to walk this life alone. I need you. I need you to lead. I need your word to be a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God, show me when I don't see a way, show me that you are still making a way. And then his last prayer was, keep me from all trouble and pain. Now, was he really asking God to keep him from experiencing any pain or trouble in this life? I mean, that's a little bit unrealistic. And I think what Jabez was looking at, God, help me to have a perspective on trouble and pain like James did, where I can count it all joy when I face trouble and pain of any kind, because I know in those moments that's the testing of my faith. And when my faith is being tested, that's gonna produce perseverance and patience and endurance. And that needs to take place so that I can be spiritually mature and complete, not lacking anything. He had a perspective on trouble and pain that shifted from what his birth identity was. I believe God is inviting us to pray that same prayer. God, would you bless me indeed? Expand my territory. Be with me in all that I do. And keep me from trouble and pain. Keep me from letting trouble and pain distract me or steal my joy or steal my energy or steal my time, steal my resources. God, help me to understand, no, you're doing something. You're working. Even if I don't see it, I know that you're working and you're making a way. Maybe in a wilderness right now that's dry, like a dry desert, but God can bring rivers in that dry land. You may be in a time of feeling alone and isolated. God can make a roadway and lead you and build a pathway right out of that place of loneliness. He can do it. But he's inviting us to be bold and specific in our prayer. And that brings me to number four. When you pray, thank God in advance for what he's done. Thank him for what he's done. Scripture says, don't worry about anything, pray about everything. Tell God what you need, thank him for what he has done. It's a very important part of prayer. You know, when our kids were young and they would ask for something again and again and again, even after I told them that we would give it for them or we would do it for them, if they would keep asking for that same thing, that would bother me. You know why? Because it communicates that they don't trust me or take me at my word. They keep asking for something that I've already promised them. And I wonder sometimes if we do that with God. We see his word, we see the instructions in his word, and we see the promises that he's made, but we keep asking and asking and asking when instead we need to be thanking God for what he's done. You can bring a bold request for direction in your life. Maybe you need direction in your life. Say, God, I ask you for direction and thank you for making a way where I don't see a way. Thank you for making my crooked path straight. Thank you for directing my steps, giving me peace in my heart to know what step to take. See how that's a little shift than asking God for direction, asking God for direction, asking God for direction when he's given us his word. Praying a bold prayer, you know, we've been praying a bold prayer that we could pay off this kids ministry expansion, right? It's a $2.3 million price tag. That's stretching my faith. To pay that off, for us as a church to pay that off in 12 months or 18 months total, it's stretching my faith, but I want us to be specific and just say, God, I thank you for providing for this need because this is part of building your kingdom. You've led us, so I just thank you in advance that when we collectively do what you're calling us to do, that we're gonna see that thing paid off in full. And as we are generous, it's gonna expand our vision for how we can be a great source of blessing as a church. Well, are you thankful for God's word today? And I really pray that it challenges you and encourages you. We're gonna have a prayer team down front. If you need prayer for any reason, please feel free to come. You may be facing something that seems impossible. God can do the impossible, so have someone pray with you. If you've never made a decision to follow Jesus and you're like, man, I need to make that decision today, come down, talk to one of our prayer team members. We'd love to talk with you. If you're newer to Worship Center, you're looking to get connected, I wanna encourage you to stop by our Connections, two rooms on either side of our auditorium there. Love to help you get connected. Becoming a growing follower of Jesus is all about taking your next step. So I encourage you to take your next step, whatever that might be. And don't forget, you are God's masterpiece. You've been created on purpose for a purpose. So go out this week and passionately pursue the purpose God has on your life and be amazed at what God can do through you. Have a great week. We'll see you here next week.